Hello, this is the Library Talker, also known as the Library Lady. I'm Library Talker on Blogspot at librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is currently hosted. So today I'm going to be talking about Fish in a Tree by Linda Mullaly Hunt, and I had heard about this for years. I had seen it, I'd heard about it, it'd been part of my, you know, lexicon in my brain, but I'd never actually read it. I don't know why I didn't pick it up. The tree fish thing on the cover might be part of it. I don't know. I was trying to look for, again, books for my 7th and 8th grade book club that I'm getting ready to form, and this one was on a recommendation list. And now, while I can't use it really for 7th and 8th grade because she's like 12, and that's more of a 4th to 6th grade book club type of thing, for those of you who are not in the know, when kids are starting to learn to read and throughout school, they tend to read about people who are a couple of years ahead of them. They don't want to read about people behind because they've already been there, but they're trying to figure out what happens in the future. So it tends to do that. That doesn't mean they never read that. It just means that's kind of the age range you're looking for. So if you're working with 12 to 14 year olds, you want to find characters who are 14 to 16 years old, that kind of thing. So anyway, Fish in a Tree by Linda Mullaly Hunt is about our little girl, Allie. She has moved and moved and moved. She's been from place to place to place. She has been through a lot, and she has struggled. Everybody is like, oh no, not her, when she walks into the room for class. All the teachers are, she makes constant mistakes. Basically, it's easy to tell she has dyslexia. For us who are the readers, because she's describing how things look. The words look like ants crawling across the page, that kind of thing. So for those of us reading it, we're like, oh, dyslexia. But for her, she has no idea. She thinks everybody sees it that way. She thinks that everybody sees the words that way. And she doesn't understand why she's unable to comprehend it. Why can everybody else read when these little word ant things are crawling across the page? How come everybody else can read and I can't? What makes me dumb? What makes me stupid? So not understanding that this is not the way words are supposed to work is her big problem. So she becomes a troublemaker. When the teachers are going to call on her, she intentionally says things that are wrong or does things that are stupid because she doesn't want them to know she's stupid. If she makes the choice to say something or do something dumb or stupid, then nobody will ever know that she is dumb or stupid, which is a perfectly, you know, that's the way kids work. As a teacher for many, many years, that's the way it is. If I do something stupid on my terms, then I'm not stupid, because I did it. I made that choice. Nobody can tell me I'm stupid because I made the choice to do this thing. So, that's what is going on for Allie. It's, you know, if people are going to call on her, she's going to intentionally do something to get them ticked off. She gets sent to the principal's office a lot. And when she does make honest efforts, they still get misinterpreted. For example, her regular teacher is going on maternity leave, and everybody is giving her gifts and giving her go-away stuff. And Allie just found a card with pretty flowers on it, and she thought that would be nice. So she brought that to her teacher, and her teacher, of course, is already nervous about getting anything from Allie. And when she opens it up and she discovers it's a sympathy card, you know, she gets upset, and everybody's like, what's wrong with you? She ends up getting sent to the principal for this, which is a little odd, but it's just yet another visit to the principal. So she has going through these things, she's going through these problems, and it because she is so good at making people think that she's being intentionally bad or stupid, or that she's making intentionally dumb decisions, then they never see that she really has a problem. And that is until her new teacher comes in. And then, you know, yes, it's a little, oh, look, it's the cool long-term sub guy, and he wears cool ties and calls everybody my fantasticos. And there's some, you know, there's a lot of stereotyping in here. We've got the mean girl syndrome and that kind of stuff. But he comes in and he, rather than judging based on the information that he's been given, where everybody said, well, it's Allie. And that's been passed down from class to class to class. Every teacher has been told, well, here's Allie. She's going to be your troublemaker. He stops and he pays attention and he watches and he learns and he figures out pretty well what the problem is. But he's willing to let her kind of learn to trust him first before he steps in and says, this is your problem. She also has an older brother who has the exact same problem and managed to, you know, futz his way through school. I think he was a dropout, but he's working in a garage. He's working with vehicles, and he wants to be he wants to restore things. So things that don't require him to necessarily read. And so that's his life. And he has pat you know, he and his sister understand each other and understand the reading problem. So when she gets in trouble, he gets it because he went through the exact same thing. And for those people who've read the book and have read some complaints about it, there's no way a kid could get that far without anybody knowing. Yes, they could. I taught high school in the middle of South Central LA for a number of years, and I had kids who came not able to read. And that whether it was because of a reading issue or not, the fact of the matter is in schools, there's you know, you've got hundreds of kids, thousands of kids in some schools. There's, you know, yes, they're supposed to be reading tests done twice a year, three times a year, whatever, reading assessments that take days of time. But that means absolutely nothing in the practical way of things. These things get missed. Kids can fake it. They can fudge it. They can, they're smart. Kids with reading disabilities tend to be really intelligent in a lot of other ways. So they fake it. They lie. They cause problems just like Allie. They intentionally do something so that the teachers think that they're being just mischievous or misbehaving, and how dare they? And they, you know, oh, and they give up on them. This happens a lot. Maybe someone who's read this is going, no, it never happened in my class, and maybe it didn't to you, but it has happened, and I've seen it happen. So this story of Allie, this story of her getting this far into school, and no one recognizing that she had this problem. It's completely reasonable. It's completely believable. And to those people who are like, no, it can't happen. Yes, it absolutely can. Like I said, I've seen them on the other side. I've seen kids who were in honors English and AP and got put into advanced placement because their parents or they requested it, who couldn't read past a fifth grade level. And I had to be, you know, the one to say, you know, you really need to go back down the level. You're not ready for this because they're so intelligent that they are able to bypass things, and they're able to fake it until they make it, the kind of things, or fake it until people thought that they've made it. And they get to the point where finally someone says no. And that happens. So that is a believable thing altogether. The basis of the title of the book, and it is a quote that is mentioned somewhere in the middle of the story, is the quote that everybody is smart in different ways, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will live its life believing it is stupid. So, you know, that's yes, Allie is super smart. She's very creative. She wants to do well, but she thinks she's dumb. And so she intentionally goes out of her way to make people think that she's just a troublemaker, so that they will not figure out that she has this problem. Because again, she thinks all words are like this, that they all bounce around, that they all dance, and that everybody else seems to understand them except for her. She doesn't get that it's not the way it's supposed to be. I personally think that there should be a lesson somewhere in second or third grade where you have one of those programs that, you know, can replicate a dyslexic, what some dyslexics see. And as we know, or as many people know, dyslexics, all of them see things differently. Some of them see them wander, some of them see them jump, some of them see them twist, some of them see them go upside down and backwards. It has a number of ways that it can affect people. So having that in second or third grade to develop that understanding and to be able to say, look, this is what some people see at that young age could help develop that empathy. And then for those kids who are slipping through the cracks, who see that, wait a second, that looks normal to me. Why is everybody else thinking that looks strange? Wait a second, maybe that's not supposed to be the way it goes. Maybe those kids, the one or two who are slipping through those cracks, might get, you know, the ability to go, hey, wait a second, that's not supposed to be the way it goes. Yes, there are problems with the story. Yes, there are issues with some stereotyping. But I think the way Allie is portrayed is very well done, having worked with those kinds of kids, kids who have learning disabilities, kids who will, and I've had 17 and 18 year olds who will intentionally try and tick me off so that I won't keep asking them questions about, you know, what they just read, or I won't ask them to read something, or I won't ask them to demonstrate, you know, knowledge about something because they didn't understand it and they don't want me to know that they didn't understand it. And so they're going to do something to tick me off so they don't look dumb, often when they're in front of other students. So that it happens. It happens all the time. So the reality of that is there. This book has that. This book has Allie's reality is a reality that I have seen in older students. I know that this happens. I've seen it happen. And I've had to be the one to pull those kids off to the side and say, I get it. I think you're struggling. And I've had to do it away from everybody else, you know, like pull them outside the door or whatever, have a whispered conversation, something where they can keep their head up and feel that people aren't making fun of them. That way they have that, you know, but it's still, you know, of course everybody knows they're being talked to. Of course, everybody knows that I've got them, you know, I'm talking to them outside the door, but the conversation itself gets to stay private. And that for a lot of kids, they don't get that. They have teachers who just call them out and say, why won't you read this? And what's wrong with you? And what's the problem? Sorry, I've got cats playing. And they'll question and yell and harangue people, and they just, you know, the kids struggle, and I get that. I've seen that happen so many times. So with regards to Fish in a Tree by Linda Mullaly Hunt, I'm going to give it, you know, on a score scale of 1 to 5, 1 being avoid traffic, you know, collision. This is don't even look at this way. Just drive around it. 5 being, oh my gosh, it's amazing. 2 being, 3 being, and 4 being, I'm going to go with, it's not perfect. It has its problems. It's not a 5. But I think it's really good for realistic fiction. I think it would be a really good read for like kids who are in the fourth grade through sixth grade reading, you know, book clubs, that kind of stuff. I think it would be great as an audiobook for those kids who are struggling. It's like, hey, I don't want you to have to, I want you to read this book, but I get that maybe you don't want to actually read it. So here's the Play Away or here's the CD or whatever. Please listen. Or have it as a classroom book and let everybody listen so that everybody can go, oh, you know, there are people who have these problems with words that are, you know, making an entire unit, make it a month of dyslexia and learning disabilities and other learning disabilities besides dyslexia, but make it a month, an empathy month, where people can understand where people are coming from. This is definitely that kind of book, and it should be in upper elementary, early middle school classrooms, absolutely. So, Fish in a Tree, Linda Mullaly Hunt, 4 out of 5. And that's, there we go. So again, I'm the library talker at librarytalker.blogspot.com, and I'm the library lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is hosted. Oh my gosh, I can't talk this morning. I hope you guys all have a really great day.